You know, it's that time of the year again when we look back at the top movies or the best-selling books or the newsmakers and celebrities who made headlines. We seem to do this every year. And if we look back at the year 2020, some of the top news stories, the first impeachment of President Donald Trump, of course, COVID-19, which I think will be another big news story this year, the shooting of George Floyd in Minneapolis, America's return to space with a manned mission in May, the death of Supreme Court Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg at the age of 87, and the election of Joe Biden as the 46th President of the United States. Time magazine is famous for its annual selection of the Person of the Year, and you can see some of the people in the past that were Person of the Year, Donald Trump in the year 2016, and Queen Elizabeth II in 1952, going all the way back to Walter Chrysler in 1928. Charles Lindbergh was the first man of the year in 1927. And Time magazine has annually profiled a person, a group, an idea, or an object that, quote, for better or for worse, has done the most to influence the events of the year, unquote. And because the way Time magazine looks at it, they selected Adolf Hitler Man of the Year in 1938. They selected Joseph Stalin in 1942, Nikita Khrushchev in 1957, and the Ayatollah Khomeini in 1979. And people are confused by that, why this designation was set up that way. Since the designation is often regarded by readers as an honor and spoken as an award or prize, I've often thought, how would Time magazine consider Jesus Christ as Person of the Year for the year 33 AD? Now, in order for this lesson to take place tonight, I need your active imagination to make it work. Number one, without exception, we're all living in the Roman Empire. Some of us are Roman citizens. We're living in the city of Rome. Some of us are slaves, working on farms and mines and building Roman highways. Some of us are Roman soldiers fighting rebellions to keep the peace. If Time magazine existed back at the time of Christ, they would have news bureaus in Rome, Alexandria, Antioch, and Jerusalem. We would have subscriptions to Time magazine. And number three, we would have to decide on how to look at the years. AD, for example, was commonly referred to some 800 years after the death of Christ. So we'll look at the years AD as the way to monitor and look at the years tonight. Now, I've given you your task. If you can keep all these things in mind, I think I have your lesson for you tonight. And I think it'll be an interesting sermon. If we consider the Time magazine existed back at the time of Christ, these may have been the newsmakers prior to the birth of Christ. Pompey the Great in the year 64 B.C., Herod the Great, 20 B.C., Julius Caesar, 54 B.C., Caesar Augustus, 8 B.C. It's interesting to note that the Roman Empire will have a population increase from 70 million to more than 100 million by the year 117 A.D., This is a growing Roman Empire, and they looked at Roman Judea, and they didn't view it as critically important. If you look at this map, it gives you an idea how big the empire is. It's outlined in blue on this contemporary map of the United States. England would be up in this corner of the screen. Egypt would be down in the Gulf of Mexico, and the Mediterranean Sea would be somewhere in the Midwest. So you can see when we learn about the Roman Empire and Paul's journeys and those kind of things, you can see they were basically traveling the footprint of the United States of America. And that's a lot of walking without any kind of mass transportation. Historians will note that Romans will conquer some 40 nations. Remarkable that emperors are able to operate over many centuries to hold together such a vast domain without railroads, airplanes, the internet, or any weapons of mass destruction. In the year 33 AD, the editors of Time in Rome believed that Caesar himself should be Time's magazine of the year. Tiberius is one of Rome's greatest generals, but in the year 33 AD, there is a great financial crisis in Rome. Land values plummet. There is a lack of cash, a crisis of confidence, and many families are ruined. Does this sound familiar to us? There are similarities between the crisis of 33 AD and 2008 AD. Tiberius used the Roman treasury to inject capital into a financial system on the verge of bankruptcy. And that was really no different than what happened in the year 2008 with the introduction of TARP, Troubled Asset Relief Program, that was done by our country with the purpose of providing liquidity for the collateralization of loans. The Arc of Titus was the entrance to the main street of ancient Rome, which leads past the Colosseum. And during the reign of Nero, it was lined with colonnades. This was also the entrance to Rome's Wall Street. Here, two of the largest banking houses were the first to collapse during the financial crisis of the year AD 33. There were loans that were considered high quality that were no longer well capitalized. Unfortunately, most of the loan guarantees were placed with noblemen going broke in Gaul, a region that now includes present-day France, Belgium, and Germany. The Bureau in Alexander agrees with Rome that Tiberius should be the man of the year. Like today, money and banking were connected throughout the Roman Empire. The crisis has devastated the leading banking house in Egypt, and it made matters worse when three ships loaded with ivory vanished in a violent storm on the Red Sea. The loss resulted in a drop in the value of ostrich feathers and ivory associated with the Ethiopian caravan trade. There is agreement with Times News Bureau in Antioch. Phoenician workers there and in Ephesus were on strike because of the loss of pay from the failure of this largest banking house in Lebanon. It was also discovered that this banking house had large loans outstanding with Lebanon and Egypt. This was bad news for this banking house. And a few days later, this banking house became insolvent. And it did not stop there. There are rumors centered around the strongest banking house in Carthage, also on the verge of closing. So you can see there was a domino effect of all these leading banking houses. Agriculture and land were by far the hardest hit of the financial crisis in the year 33 AD. Tiberius ordered one-third of every senator's fortune be invested in lands in Italy. This was his attempt to prop up failing real estate prices. And this was not voluntary. Failure to comply meant you could be prosecuted. There were penalties, including death. Times reporters in Jerusalem, they disagree. They think Rome has it completely wrong. Pontius Pilate had been the judge that year at a trial for a man who called himself the Son of God. There was a Jewish mob who wanted him crucified. Since his appointment in 26 AD, Pilate had repeatedly caused near insurrections among the Jews because of his insensitivity to Jewish customs. This time, Pilate washes his hands to show that he will not be held responsible for the execution of the man the Jews called Jesus Christ. This man did not plot against the Roman Empire, but he still put to death. Pilate initially handed Jesus over to Herod Antipas, in whose jurisdiction Christ was most active. Like his father Herod the Great, he was made ruler of Galilee by the reigning Caesar. Herod did not see any miracles with this Jesus, and he sends him back to Pilate. But the reporters in Jerusalem say Herod had his own problems. He divorced his first wife. He married the former wife of his brother. He also beheaded an up-and-coming prophet the Jews called John the Baptist. The Jerusalem Bureau knows that Rome likes stories about murder, revenge, and especially betrayal. After all, the Roman Senate was no stranger to controversies, scandals, and murder. In Judea, the word was spreading about Judas Iscariot. He was one of the 12. He was part of an inner circle of the disciples of Christ. He was also in charge of the group's money and was stealing from them. Judas went to the chief priest who betrayed Jesus Christ. He got 30 pieces of silver, approximately the price of a healthy Jewish slave. Now, the way the Roman Empire became successful was they worshiped their own gods. And as the empire expanded throughout the Mediterranean, the general policy was to absorb the deities and cults of other people's worship rather than to try to eradicate them. As long as these things went as they went and did not disrupt Rome, Rome had no problems what was going on in the provinces. The Roman Empire, in fact, became highly tolerant. They allowed the local population, such as the Jews, to practice their own faiths. But the death of an obscure religious teacher in a remote outpost at first did not impress the editors in Rome. But the Jerusalem Bureau was insistent. There was more to this story. For example, a man named Joseph of Arimathea, a native of Judea, an honorable counselor who was also a rich man. Nothing unusual about this, except he was also a silent follower of Jesus Christ. Joseph, you see, in secret, went to see Pilate and was granted Jesus' dead body off the cross of Golgotha. Assisted by a second man named Nicodemus, they wrapped the body in fine linen and applied myrrh and aloes. Then it was quickly placed in Joseph's own tomb because the following day was the Jewish Sabbath. Now, if you were in Rome and you heard this kind of story, what would be your first impressions? But Jerusalem kept adding more details to the story, to Rome. Jerusalem told Rome there were accounts of earthquakes. The day turned into night, and the dead were rising from the graves. Rome had to respond at some point, "We do not believe you. This cannot be true." This is when the story takes on a life of its own. The reporters you see in Jerusalem say they have 500 eyewitnesses who claim Jesus Christ arose from the dead in 3 days. And in fact, the first eyewitness was a woman, Mary Magdalene, from a town on the western shore of the Sea of Galilee. Can you imagine the editors in Rome after they hear all of this? They realize this Jesus Christ is more than just a Jewish rebel in Roman Judea. His death by crucifixion ended a 3-year ministry. This Jesus often taught with parables. And this Jesus performed more than 30 miracles, including walking on water, calming a storm at sea, feeding 5,000 people, raising a dead man named Lazarus. So there is agreement. Rome agrees that Jesus of Nazareth should be Time Magazine's Person of the Year for 33 A.D. Now we know that's 33 A.D. The story does not end there. And the magazine continues to follow what happened in Judea even after the death of Jesus Christ. There are subsequent issues of Time reporting on the day of Pentecost. They report on Peter and the apostles preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. On that day, 3,000 people were baptized for the remission of sins. They talk about Saul, converted on the road to Damascus, baptized by Ananias, and he brings the gospel to the Gentiles as the Apostle Paul. Now tonight, I've asked you to consider all these things, but we have to have a reality check. We know Time Magazine did not exist 2,000 years ago. We realize the printing press would not be invented for another 1,400 years. And we also know the Bible as we know it did not exist at that time. We have the books of the Old Testament and the New Testament, unlike the first century Christians. We can download tonight on our phones a file of the Bible. Tonight, I hope I've reminded you how history can repeat itself. The thing that hath been, it is that which shall be. And that which is done is that which shall be done. And there is no new thing under the sun. However, one thing will never change. Then as now, our salvation is freely offered to us because we have the free will to refuse or accept. Matthew chapter 7, verse 21 says, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven." We must also be steadfast in faith. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 14 says, "Therefore, beloved, looking forward to these things, be diligent to be found by him in peace, without spot and blameless." We must not lose fact that heaven is the eternal reward. During his Sermon on the Mount, Jesus told the crowd to lay up treasures in heaven. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 21, "For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." You know, we don't know what Jesus looks like. If you go on the internet, there are dozens and dozens of paintings, illustrations, exhibits of what these people say Jesus looks like. We do not know if Jesus was tall or short. Did he have a beard or long hair? Was he fat or skinny? We don't know. And you know, it does not really matter. This was never part of God's plan of salvation. And I know Scott had a song picked out for us tonight, but Scott, I was hopeful you could use as our invitation, "We Saw Thee Not." And the reason why I'm asking Scott to change that, here we are tonight, thousands of years later, more than halfway around the world, and we are worshiping Jesus Christ tonight as our Lord and Savior. And all of these things I talked about required your imagination, but the fact is the Bible's filled with facts of what did happen in the year 33 AD, and we did not get to see any of that. Among the many hymns we have sung as Christians is the one tonight, written by Ann Richter in 1834 AD. Listen to the lyrics as we sing the invitation tonight, because I think they describe what we did not see in the year 33 AD. But as Jesus asked Thomas, "We are that generation that did not see it, all of these things in the Bible, but we believe them by faith. And so we are being revered by God because we are here tonight by faith, honoring him and worshiping him." Now, all of this mostly was my idea of how Time magazine would handle a news story 2,000 years ago. The plan of salvation happens to be 2,000 years old too, 2,020 years old. It hasn't changed, and I haven't seen it being profiled as a news event of the year. In fact, it's been a news event for three millennia practically. And this is your opportunity tonight. If you want to make history tonight, make history for yourself by being restored in the church, by becoming a member of the church, and using this opportunity to do so. What a way to start off the new year if you can accomplish those things tonight, as together as we stand and sing.